欢迎收看美国之音的时事大家谈，我是樊东宁。向来有帝国坟场之称的阿富汗，位处欧亚大陆心脏地带，战略位置突出，有史以来它的命运就和大国之间的角力难解难分。美军撤出阿富汗之后，中国将扮演一个怎样的角色？有可能面临哪些利弊得失与风险？塔利班再次上台将如何重塑中亚的地缘政治？新的合纵连横又将如何牵动美中关系和全球局势呢？时事大家谈，今天很高兴为您邀请到专门研究中国和中亚外交关系的欧安组织学院研究员邱芷恩，以及位于布鲁塞尔的欧洲亚洲研究所高级研究员张俊华博士两位专家，来为大家进行深入的分析。那么首先我想先请教人在那个吉尔吉斯斯坦首都比什凯克的邱芷恩。Diva Yao。Diva, welcome to VOA's Issues and Opinions.
Thank you.
So my first question is, will China fill the power vacuum left by the U.S. in Afghanistan? And in your opinion, how would Beijing deal with this hot potato? Diva.
Since the first time that U.S. has expressed to leave Afghanistan in the early 2010s, China has, of course, stepped up efforts to position itself to be able to deal with the aftermath. From that time, China has already opened dialogue, most of them publicly, but some of them in secret, with both the Taliban and the Afghan government. Well, now it's the former Afghan government. These dialogues are not just focused on the heads of states of the two groups, but different leaders of these two groups, because China was mindful that the Afghan situation can change very quickly. And it's been important to have a holistic approach in terms of making allies. China in the past 10 years has tried a strategy called economic incentive for peace. And this means opening corridors for small-scale trade, industrial projects. But unfortunately, as we can see from recent meetings between leaders in Beijing and Taliban leaders, none of these strategies has actually worked. The bilateral discussion is still at step one of what China cares about fundamentally, which is the Taliban non-support for the East Turkestan movement. Now, Beijing will definitely need to try another strategy.
Beijing needs another strategy. But Niva, we know that people call Afghanistan an imperial cemetery for a reason, of course, according to the history. So would China step up in Afghanistan be a bold geopolitical move and fall into the same trap, just as other superpowers in the history, in your opinion?
China will definitely do it differently, two ways. First, the anti-terrorism mechanism set up by China within the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is already ready to cushion some of the effects on the region. For example, influx of foreign fighters recruitment, promotion of radical ideology and others. Bilateral engagement is already well established between China and Central Asian states. And this will come into the picture as well to safeguard regional safety. This is how China will deal with the regional problems that will come with Taliban's rise in Afghanistan. Second, directly with Afghanistan, we have to understand that Taliban leaders do not necessarily control the lower rank members and also members of other international terrorist groups, especially in remote mountainous villages and districts. China's incoming post-war reconstruction plans, such as building roads and increasing domestic connectivity, will definitely help Taliban leaders to strengthen their rule, which is something that Western players have been worried about, is that Taliban will not be able to actually rule over all of Taliban and all of Afghanistan. But China can help with these post-war reconstruction to actually strengthen the rule of Taliban leaders. And in exchange, China, of course, will secure some basic demands. In this sense, it is unlikely, it is unlike other strategies that other superpowers has tried, like Russia, like U.S., the pro is that if it works, it will bring more peace to Afghanistan than we have seen in the past decades. But it mm-hmm. is very much unlikely to work because, let's think about it, Afghanistan will not mm-hmm. abandon the friends that they have been fighting together for in the past decades. And the cons of this China's strategy is that regional governments are already asking for China to do more, and they want China to do more to provide very concrete security measures. If not, China will lose its position to Russia in the region because Russia is simply very willing to provide concrete security guarantee to regional governments. Last week, Russia led a military exercise in the border of Uzbekistan and mm-hmm. Afghanistan already with Russian army, Uzbek army, and Tajik army. Mm-hmm. You know, at this scale, China is not ready.
I see. And also, Neva, we remember that Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi met with Taliban delegation in Tianjin last month, and he urged Taliban to stay away, keep a distance from terrorism. So I have two questions here. So first, what exactly is the relationship between Taliban and the East Turkestan Islamic movement? And will Taliban's radical rule lead to more threats of terrorism in Xinjiang? Neva.
There has always been a presence of East Turkestan movement in Afghanistan, because Afghanistan has been the hot zone of attracting different international terrorist organizations. Mm-hmm. Many analysts believe that members of the East Turkestan movement have been fighting alongside Taliban for a decade. And there are Taliban members who support the vision of the East Turkestan movement, having an independent Xinjiang who practices radical Islam. China is unlikely to feel satisfied with any promises that the Taliban leaders give regarding the East Turkestan movement, because the threat does not directly come from the small border between China and Afghanistan. It will come from radicalization in Central Asia that will overspill to Xinjiang because of human exchanges, family and business links between Central Asia and Xinjiang.
Mm-hmm. And also, will China use its Belt and Road Initiative as a bargaining chip to provide Taliban with more opportunities to make sure it won't mess up with Xinjiang problems, in your opinion?
China, Wang Yi, in a trip to Afghanistan in 2016, he already said that mm-hmm. Afghanistan will be incorporated into the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, which is one of the seven economic corridors part of the Belt and Road Initiative. At the same time, Central Asian countries, particularly Uzbekistan, after having a new leader since 2016, have also expressed a willingness to incorporate and to be more integrated with South Asian economies. That includes explicitly Afghanistan. So China's Belt and Road Initiative, together with a post-war reconstruction, will definitely provide opportunities for Taliban to strengthen their rule. But it is unlikely that Taliban has the capacity or the political will to fulfill what China is demanding. It is going to be a difficult negotiation for Beijing.
Yes, if we look at this situation in a broader regional view, how will Taliban reshape the whole geopolitics in Central Asia? And what is your assessment of the impacts on China's massive investment in the region? Neva.
Like I said, Central Asian populations will be attracted to radical Islam as mm-hmm. they see Taliban rule in Afghanistan on a daily basis with videos and news covering it. Central Asian governments will have to decide if they want to resist it or mm-hmm. if they want to embrace it. Some Central Asian countries are more at risk of being swayed by radical Islam, such as Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. Some are less so because Kazakhstan is more diverse and more developed, And Turkmenistan is extremely closed off. So, you know, we have doubts if they actually know about the developments just across the border. It is unfortunate that China's massive investments, such as the natural gas pipeline from Turkmenistan, will now face very serious risk from not just the Taliban, but also other international terrorist groups that are present and active in Afghanistan. For perspective, China imports about 40% of its natural gas needs from abroad, and one third of this is from Turkmenistan.
Okay, you mentioned Russia earlier. So here I'd like to add the factor of Russia to ask you about, like, to see the situation in a more like global view. What is the common interest of Russia and China in Afghanistan? Will Russia, China, Taliban, and even Iran together form a new alliance to compete with the US, Europe, and the Quad in Indo-Pacific region, in your opinion?
Russia does not want to see radical Islam at its border, as well as China. We have at least 5 million people from Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan that work in Russia as low-skilled workers. Russia depends on these populations for its economy, but they also bring massive risk of terrorism when the region become more radicalized. We expect many more initiatives within the Shanghai Cooperation Organization to cushion these regional effects coming out of Afghanistan. An alliance of China, Russia, Taliban, and Iran is very unlikely to happen. Taliban leaders, they do not yet enjoy enough trust from the major powers in the region. And in the process of combating other international terrorist organizations, though, in such a scenario, there could be some multilateral mechanism that emerge, but we cannot call it an alliance. It's pragmatic.
Mm-hmm. Last but not least, I'd like to ask, what does it all mean for U.S.-China relationship, especially U.S.-China competition? And in your opinion, what are the impacts of the so-called new Cold War between Washington and Beijing with the latest development in Afghanistan?
U.S. leaving Afghanistan has definitely forced China's hand in terms of testing how it deals with very difficult issues in the international community. It allows for the world to see how ineffective the Chinese governance and the Chinese foreign policy actually is. And it will add very uneasiness between the Chinese government and the Chinese people because of how strongly the average Chinese associate the Taliban with a terrorist image. We have already seen this week and last week how Wang Yi's meeting with Taliban leaders have been interpreted on the Chinese internet. Why are we working with terrorists? They have been raised knowing Taliban and what it does. It will be very uncomfortable for the Chinese government to encounter to fix this image. But at the same time, this actually also opened a new area, a potential area of cooperation between China and U.S., because China will need, and there's no other countries in the world that has a better expertise than the U.S. when it comes to the very specifics of Afghanistan-related problems, such as drug trafficking and weapons trafficking and intelligence sharing about international terrorist organizations. So now we have a new area of potential discussions. We already saw that the Secretary of State, Blinken, had a phone call earlier this week, and this will definitely, hopefully, ease some of the tension between China and U.S.
Thank you so much, Niva Viao from OSCE Academy, for joining us today. Thank you, Niva.
Thank you.
好的，休息一下，稍后回来我们还要继续请另外一位专家从全球战略的角度来分析阿富汗局势对美中关系的影响。不要走开，我们马上回来。欢迎收看美国之音的时事大家谈，我是樊东宁。我们都知道这个阿富汗有所谓的帝国坟场之称，那么有史以来它的命运不但和大国之间的角力分不开，甚至也微妙地牵动着世界强权的兴衰。美军撤出阿富汗之后，中国要如何在中亚地区方会影响力，所衍生出的新的合纵连横又将如何牵动全球局势和美中关系呢？今天时大谈很高兴为您邀请到欧洲亚洲研究所的高级研究员张俊华教授，不大深入的分析。张教授，欢迎您。
谢谢，谢谢邀请。
好的，张教授，刚才我们前面提到，这个阿富汗情势的背后发展其实是这个大国之间的角力哦。您认为这个美军撤出阿富汗之后，中国能够透过哪些方式来发挥它在中亚地区的影响力呢？张教授。
好，谢谢。这问题很好。我觉得是这样，就是实际上中国在前20年在阿富汗已经发挥了一些作用。当然，这作用主要是在经济领域的。而且是体现在就是说只干活不说话。那么，主要是体现在他的这个搭便车这个特点上，是一种被动型的。那么现在问题是，中国要发挥作用是主动型的。那么主动型的，可以这么说，中国发挥作用的。首先要断定它的最大动力是什么。我觉得最大动力就是说要遏制东突厥斯坦那个伊斯兰运动啊，也就是说我所谓的在新疆曾经在新疆活动的那个这个恐怖组织等等。那么当然现在还出现了一些新的兴奋点。那么新的兴奋对中国的兴奋点是什么？比如说阿富汗在占领那个这个喀布尔期间就交获了很多美国的武器，那美国其中有一些武器可以说是中国一直是向往得到的，那么这个样呢就是对阿富汗的兴趣也增加了。还有一个兴趣就是说是阿富汗本身的那个就是说有很多矿产啊，那么这样呢就是特别是这个 rare earth 啊，这个稀土这个矿产呢可以这么说对整个全球工业发展很重要。那么从如果是中国能够这个占领这块地方，能够在这个矿场上起到相当大的作用，那可以说是对中国来说是一个很大的这个有利的地方。从阿富汗这个塔利班本身来说，塔利班对中国也有所求。所谓有所求，就是说塔利班在这个现在开始到今后的4-5年内，肯定经济上很缺钱。那么这样呢就是说他需要中国的投资，需要中国的这方面的这个经济的资源等等。那么中国是不是能这么干，这个是个问题。也就是说中国的前提就是说是把新疆问题先解决了，安全问题先解决了，那么这个阿富汗能不能解决这个问题，这实际上是一个问题。
那么张教授，就像您说的，有一些兴奋点，也有一些互有所求的部分，但是这个阿富汗的问题它背后其实非常的复杂，想请您跟我们再进一步的进一些解释，尤其是这个塔利班的部分。当然他现在进行这个外交公关，对国际社会做出一些承诺，但塔利班真的会改头换面吗？张教授，您的看法。
这个呢应该这么说，从整体上来说，俄罗斯对这个塔利班能不能改头换面的这个预测呢可以说比较谨慎，中国就显得特别乐观。乐观的就体现在这个王毅这个在会见那个塔利班这个代表团7月末会议会见代表团时候的一种表达，以及那个中国政府的那个发言人的各种各样的表述。这种表述都体现出一种，第一是乐观，第二是想办法就是说为塔利班说好话。这样呢就是以至于想取得塔利班的这方面好感。那么这一点呢但是呢问题就是说，这个毕竟想象多于现实，就是说今后的现实是不是这样。这样呢就要看几个方面问题。像塔利班可以这么说，跟那个所谓的外国的极端武装组织，比如说这个东突等等等等，实际上很结合得很紧密。 阿富汗现在的阿富汗实际上还是一个所谓的这个恐怖分子的迪士尼公园。那么这个从联合国这个今年的六月份的一个报告来说，本身就体现出就是说塔利班跟那个其他的这个基地组织等等都有着密切的联系。那么而且呢可以这么说，推翻喀布尔政府完全也不能说完全，但至少是大部分也是依靠着这个其他的恐怖组织的一些协助。那么从这点来说，我个人认为塔利班很难对中国希望的跟就是说是今后能够跟那个恐怖组织这个翻脸，能切断关系这样一种期待呢，可以这么说是完全是走的相反的道路，也就是说他不可能翻脸的。那么
像张
昭因素不好意思，另外一个因素是这个民族各方面的因素。那么民族各方面的因素可以这么说，从塔利班本身他在曾经的执政期间，也就是说96年到2001年期间就存在的这样一个问题。那么这些问题，这个所谓的族裔融合问题到现在还没有解决，也就是说他跟当地的军阀实际上还是有很大的冲突。即便塔利班这个一些个别的领导人他想表现出一种温和态度，但是呢其他的军阀头子等等不一定是这么想的，他们对跟国际社会的互动没有这种积极性。
那么就像张教授说的，其实阿富汗内部的不管是族裔的或是军阀的这个问题非常的复杂，加上这个刚才也提到了，就是说这个塔利班他这个接下来跟中国的合作呢，很多人认为会不会重到过去苏联这所谓帝国坟场的覆辙，这是不是中共在接下来基于战略合作必须要少一点这个乐观的想象，多一点现实的这个期待呢？想请教您的看法。
我个人认为呢，现在就是说有两种说法。第一种说法呢，就是说今后的阿富汗是中国的第三个帝国坟场啊。那么还有一种说法呢，就是说今后的阿富汗是中国是作为一个赢家，这个可以说最好的地方，那么也就是指的就是能有几亿兆美元的矿石会进入中国的囊中等等等等。我觉得这两种说法都比较偏颇。那么偏颇的意思是什么呢？就是说第一呢，就是中国这个北京的领导不是那么笨，也就是说他不会重复以前苏联和美国的这种这个帝国坟场的这种状态，他不会去这么做。我想这是北京政府是相当心里相当明白这一点的。那么中国是不是最后的真正的赢家呢？这一点实际上也没肯定。我个人认为就是说现在的所有的输家都已经肯定了谁输了，那么这个大家都可以看得出来，西方国家以美国为主的西方国家或者说是这个印度等等等等。那么但是呢赢家到底是不是已经明确了，说实在没有一个也没有这样一种说法。当然中国有地理上的一个优势而且呢可以这么说，作为一个邻国可以说是能要愿意做的话他可能做很多事情。但是我刚才已经提到过了，就是说阿富汗的所谓的严重的安全赤字问题，这对中国来说是一个很严肃的问题。也就是说如果冒险的代价太大，对中国来说也没有太大的意义。
刚才张教授提到这个谁是赢家输家，在这个阿富汗的问题上，我们就顺着这个问题谈一下。这一次这个拜登政府处理这个阿富汗撤军的问题其实是备受国际间质疑的，尤其是不是会损害到美国的这个所谓作为大国的信誉，还有跟其盟友的关系也是大家关注的一点。当然白宫国家安全顾问 Sullivan 已经出来澄清了，说尤其是他还特别将台湾和以色列相提并论，说美国对盟友的承诺一定会一如既往的坚定。想请教张教授您的分析和看法。
首先呢，我觉得这个美国这次处理的问题呢，主要是在心理上对阿富汗政府和军队呢是一种打击。这打击呢也造成了他 很快的崩溃的这样一个可以说是有一定的跟他这个有一定的联系。那么这个似乎对台湾有所影响，所谓的影响就是说北京也就是利用这个影响现在来幸灾乐祸的对台湾来进行讽嘲等等等等。那么这个问题实际上没有那么简单啊，这个但是从另外一方面来说，这个西方联盟国，这个从西方联盟国这个角度来看，那么应该这么说，即便是拜登政府这次在他的做法中，在撤军的做法中，显然是体现出一个交流跟协调不够。那么也就是说，这个呢是还是基本上继承了这个特朗普的这样一种策略和战略。那么这是应该这么说，是存在的问题，是需要弥补的。所以您提到的以色列问题，就对以色列这样一个这个盟国，就到底今后会怎么样？我觉得这要看今后伊朗、中国这怎么个联合啊，怎么跟阿富汗这个是否会解成同盟这样一个来决定。那么现在呢，暂时还比较时间还尚早，这个来对这个问题做出判断。
嗯，张教授，我们从这个美中这个新冷战这个角度来看这个问题的时候，虽然说美国之前认为说这个阿富汗撤军是为了集中力量在这个印太地区应付中国的这个问题，但是现在看来这个在阿富汗引发的连锁效应，就像您刚刚讲的，中国有可能借由这个阿富汗问题跟俄罗斯甚至是伊朗进行进一步的结盟。你怎么看这个中国、俄罗斯、伊朗还有这个阿富汗接下来可能产生的这个新的这个合纵联合可能对美中新冷战造成的影响呢？
美国的目的就是要把那个Al-Qaeda 跟这个 ISIS 跟就是说是把它要消灭了，这是这个阿富汗战争的一个目的。但是呢，现在问题就是说，今后是不是会就保持这样一个就是说目的，就是说像拜登所说的，我们的目的已经达到了，是不是会保持这种状态？那么这个问题呢，可以这么说，现在还是有一点问号呢。但是呢，这个问题，即便对中国来说，对俄罗斯这个中亚国家来说，也是一个很重要的问题，因为他们也不希望像出现这种极端组织，就是说重新恢复的这甚至深入这个中国和中亚地区、俄罗斯地区这样一种状态。那么这个呢，也就是为什么最近布林肯那个是跟那个中方也好，跟俄方也好，各方能有一种交流的一个前提，我说的这就是一个共同的关心的问题。但是这里有一个有和有分，分的意思呢，就是说这个所有的威权制度都很高兴看到，就是说现在非民主阵营又壮大了。那么阿富汗塔利班的这个胜利，实际上就是民主制度的实验的失败啊，或者说暂时的失败，是成为一种对他们来说成了一种笑话。那么这个呢，可以这么说，是中方也好，俄方也好，都希望看到的这种现象。但是我想从长期来说，民主制度在自我修正之后，不管是在什么地方，包括在阿富汗，那么肯定会重新焕发其光芒。
好的，因为时间关系，最后请很简短的30秒跟我们谈一下您对于阿富汗接下来情势发展的一个预测和展望，张教授。
那个实际上这么说，这今后到底是怎么样发这个前景呢？可以这么说，有很多未知数，但是这点是肯定的，今后的阿富汗在今后4-5年内，它会继续保持所谓的不稳定、不安全、更贫穷这种状态。
嗯，
那么在这种情况下，如果没有中国经济物质经济方面的全心全意的支持啊，那么西方当然也不会这么支持的，那么极端恐怖分子和组织很可能那就是重新回来。那么另外一个方面就是说，在这4-5年期间，内战这个范围已经像我刚才所说的，就是说可能会越来越扩大。
我们非常感谢欧洲亚洲研究所的高级研究员张俊华教授，今天带来这么深入的分析，感谢张教授。
谢谢。
好，也要提醒您，来宾发表是个人观点，不代表美国之音。我是樊东宁，祝各位平安，我们下次节目再会。